Father, we just thank you for this time to get together, Father. And Father, we pray that you would bless this fellowship, Father, Lord, as we take a deeper look into your word, Father. And Father, I pray that you would bless this time, and Lord, and bless each listener. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we're continuing in this First Principles of Christ. First section is the inspired word. And if you're following your outline that's on the website, inspired word of God, man is the instrument that's used. The first scripture is 2 Peter 1:21. And I'm going to be mostly using the Message translation. Again, this is man is the instrument used for writing the inspired word. Last time we found out that it was the Holy Spirit is the author, and that the word is inspired of God through the Holy Spirit, and the man's the instrument used, what we're going to learn this week. And why? Because it's not something concocted in the human heart. Prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men and women to speak God's word. Now, has anybody got another translation that they would like to go besides that? Okay.
What version was yours?
Mine was the Message.
Okay. I've got, I don't know, it's one of the King James
versions. Yours is New King James, I think.
Yeah. It says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit."
Okay. About the same. All right. Again, we're showing that man is the instrument used. Okay, out of 8 translations, it's very cut and dry what's being said. And let's look what the word does say. First, it's what prophecy is not. It never had its own origin in the will of man. So prophecy is not something some man concocted up, right? It's not something, well, I just said, concocted in the human heart. Prophecy never originated because some man willed it. To do so, it never came by human impulse. You agreeing so far about what prophecy is not? Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It was never made by act of a human will. Prophecy didn't happen just because they wanted to prophesy. And, of course, we've all seen that before in different churches. Unfortunately, we've seen prophecy where the pastor's wife prophesied and the pastor would give the interpretation. Or seeing somebody give the prophecy in one language, and just because somebody else in the church that knows that language gave the interpretation. In other words, we've seen false prophecy. And then if it's made out of the will of man, then it's not prophecy, because it's not given out of the will of God. Prophecy never came from what a person wanted to say. Again, we're talking about what prophecy is not. And prophecy never came by the way of men. So, out of the 8 translations we got, it all says the same thing. Prophecy is something, it's not something concocted in the human heart. The human heart has nothing to do with prophecy. Now, what is prophecy? And that's the whole basis of this 2 Peter 1:21 is talking about prophecy. Prophecy is spoke by men from God as they were carried along by what? The Holy Spirit. Or as some people say, Holy Ghost. They say real fast, but Holy Ghost. Prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men and women to speak God's word. You agree with that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is out of 8 different translations. Men spoke from God who were born along, moved by, and impelled by the Holy Spirit. Again, prophecy. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
It was the Holy Spirit who moved the prophets to speak from God. They weren't called prophets just because they wanted to be prophets. That would have been man-made. They were only moved by the Holy Spirit. People led by the Holy Spirit spoke words from God. And holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the
Holy Spirit.
So, men is the instrument used that the Holy Spirit could speak through. And men was the instrument used for the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. Any questions or anything you want to add on that 1 Peter 1:21? It's just straight outward, that's what prophecy is and is not. Okay? If not, let's go to 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16. Again, this is also showing that man is the instrument used. Anybody want to read whatever they got from whatever translation? Or you want me to just go ahead with the message first? What do you got, Wayne DeQuest?
NIV.
Go ahead. Let's go
it that. Says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorance and unstable people distort, as they do with other scriptures, to their own destruction.
And why is that? Because to understand the scriptures, it's written by the Holy Spirit. You have to be with it, had the Holy Spirit. Understand it. All right. Message Bible says, interpret our master's patient restraint for what is salvation. Our good brother Paul, who was given much wisdom in these matters, refers to this in all his letters, and was written you essentially the same thing. Some things, Paul writes, are difficult to understand. Irresponsible people who don't know what they are talking about twist them every which way. They do it to the rest of the scriptures too, destroying themselves as they do it. They don't understand the scriptures because they don't understand the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16 starts out with, bear in mind. The word interpreted means to translate or decide what something means. People couldn't understand the scriptures, so they were trying to translate and decide what something means, and they were mistranslating the scriptures. And that's what the scripture says, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Consider. This is what the scripture is saying, right? Bear in mind and consider. Where consider means to think about something carefully and to take something into account. Again, think about the scripture that we've just been reading when I'm telling you what these words mean. Regard. That means to look at closely and to respect or consider. And remember. Recall to bring back to mind. Back to the scripture. Interpret our master's patient restraint for what it is. Salvation. Our good brother Paul, who was given much wisdom in these matters, refers to this in all his letters, and it was written to you essentially the same thing. Paul wrote these things about salvation, but the people couldn't understand it. They interpreted it their own way, and they couldn't. They tried to consider, but he couldn't consider what carefully about it because he didn't understand it at all. And I don't care what you have. If you have something in front of you, like a new TV, and you're trying to learn how to turn it on and put it together, if the instructions are in Greek, the only thing you understand is English, you're not going to put it together. Right? Well, that's what was happening here. The people could not understand it because it was, the author was who?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. And they could not understand things of the Spirit because they did not have the Spirit.
So they were not believers.
Right. So they were just taking the scripture and putting it the way they wanted to put it.
Which a lot of people do today.
Absolutely. Okay. So they did not know about our Lord's patience, our Master's patience, our Lord's long-suffering, and the Lord's waiting so that people have time. Okay, this is still all the Second Peter. And time for what? To be saved. Salvation. So it says that Paul wrote and told us, according to the wisdom given to him by God, which was through the Holy Spirit, that the things he wrote were very easy to understand, right? It says what?
No, hard.
Hard to understand. And why do you think that's so?
because most people think that they have to work their way to salvation. And so they couldn't understand the free gift that was being offered to them, mm-hmm. that there must be some kind of catch to it, that it can't really be free. You know, it's just like us, you know, they advertise on TV, come in for a free whatever.
But there's a catch to it
all. But there's a catch at the end of it that says, oh, you get it free, but you got to buy this first.
Right.
Or you got to do this first to get that free item. It's not really free. It comes with a price.
Right.
But God's gift of salvation was totally free. There was no price put to it, no attachments to it. It stood on its own as a free gift.
Right.
And we can understand that because the Holy Spirit lets us. And see, they couldn't understand that because it was inspired by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And so you said it so clear right there. It's so easy to understand the way you just said it. But to them, it'd be like our next-door neighbor coming over who is Hispanic, coming over here and telling us the same thing you said in Spanish, and we wouldn't understand a word of it at all. And that's how it was about the Scriptures. Paul would tell them, and he was inspired by the Spirit of God, and they couldn't understand it.
Well, I think the other part of that is the people that he was speaking to, it was a deal of, where's the Messiah? You know, we're expecting, or we're wanting in our own heart, that we have a new king sitting on the throne that's going to rule forever. Mm-hmm. I was just reading a deal last night that they're actually training priests for the new temple. The third temple. They've actually made a 1.1. What is it when they say 1:1 scale?
I don't know.
It's a mock-up of it. It's actual building. I forget how many. I think it was 29,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. You know, replica of the temple.
Uh-huh. It's a full scale.
And they were actually training them to be priests.
Oh wow.
And stuff. And it then went on and said for the return of the Messiah.
Where did you find that at?
On the internet. Uh-huh. This was something I'd found on the internet because I was looking at something else. They're still seeking for a Messiah. They could not and do not still understand that he's already came. Because they're looking for is a physical person to be sitting on the throne and to make peace through all the nations.
Now, is this the Jews you're talking
about? The Jews, yes.
Right.
Yeah. And I think this comes a lot, too, with what we talked about last time. Jesus was a common Jewish name, and in his hometown, they did not recognize him as the Messiah. He was Joseph the carpenter's son.
That's right.
Right.
And Jesus, like we said, was a very common name at that time. And so him and Mary went to pay taxes. They come back with a baby. So what? They don't know what took place while they were gone, and they don't know he's the Messiah. They don't take him as the Messiah. Of course, we got the Bible to tell us all of this stuff, so it's a lot easier for us.
Well, and we weren't there for firsthand experience when he was ministering.
And the thing is, we still do not understand the Bible, no matter what translations got, how easy it is to read, unless you have the Spirit of God.
That's right, because there has to be a leading. Absolutely. And that leader and understanding is the Holy Spirit. And that's who, when we're contemplating these two sides of things, that we need to let our spirit man come out and take control instead of our soulful man. Because our soulful man is all about me.
Yeah, yeah.
But our spiritual man is about the things of God. And we need to bring that spirit forth to help us when the Holy Spirit's talking to us so that we do understand these things.
And you brought on a good point there too, Wayne. A lot of people don't understand the difference between soul and spirit. The soul is the living part of the man. And the spirit is your spirit that will be going on to be of God.
Right, that dwells inside.
Dwells inside, yeah.
And
which also brings in, you talked about it, distorted, twisted. Who was it that distorted, twisted, misconstructed, rested, explained falsely to their own destruction? There's a whole list of what the word says. The ignorant, the unstable, mm-hmm. irresponsible, those who don't know what they're talking about, which is all of us before we had God's Spirit, God. The unlearned, the untaught, the weak in faith, And they do this to the rest of the scriptures also, not just to this one little bit.
Just talk about the Pharisees and what the Pharisees did. They distorted what they had learned.
And what
did
they
do? They took it to a point of saying, look at me, I follow the law explicitly. But then you have the story of the example of them being in the synagogue and the old lady's giving of everything she has.
The mites.
The mites. And the Pharisees are standing up saying, oh, look at me. You know, I'm going to give so much money and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And to them, it may be a pittance to them. It may be nothing but a dollar. But look at me. I'm giving my dollar.
Or maybe millions. But they had more.
But they always had more.
It was nothing compared to that woman given everything she had.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the same deal is that it applies here.
Well, and the thing is, like I was saying about all these different things, ignorant, unstable, responsible, and all that. But what did it cause when they were doing these scriptures and doing them wrong? Confusion.
Confusion, deception.
And who is the author of confusion?
Satan,
you got it. And this is why, as God used, and man was the instrument, but still, the Holy Spirit was the author. God used man as the instrument to write. Well, we'll go into it later about how many men it used and how many books. We talked about that before. But for the whole thing to go together, the whole Bible to go together and have one theme, which is Christ, salvation, it took one author, and that was the Holy Spirit. Okay. Any questions on that one little point there? If not, we found out that so far that the Holy Spirit is the author, man is the instrument used, and now we're going to find out the result of that, and we're still in the inspired word. The result, we have to go to Numbers 23:19. So we're going back to Old Testament here. You got it yet?
Yep.
I got it.
Go ahead, sweetheart.
You got New King James, right?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead and read yours.
Okay. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. For he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?
Okay. This is saying what God is, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me read from the message. It's pretty much the same thing. God is not man, one given to lies, and not a son of man changing his mind. Does he speak and not do what he says? And does he promise and not come through? So basically, he does everything he says he does. All right. Let me find the King James here. King James Version says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Again, this is result of the infallible word. What does the word infallible mean?
Without error.
Not mistaken. No mistakes.
No mistakes? What did you say, Kathy?
Without error.
Without error? Anything else? Both those are great. Without errors or incapable of error, same thing. Certain, unerring, or sure. So this God's word is, his word is, can't be any error in it. It's got to be of God's. The first statement in this Numbers is, God is not a man. He is not a human being. Right?
Right.
So what is next?
Spirit.
Now he says, he should not lie. He's not one given to lies. That he should tell or act a lie. He will not lie. So God cannot lie. He can't tell nothing but the truth. Because he says he is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the light, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he cannot tell a lie. God is truth. In the second statement he says, nor a son of man. He is not human. And these are different translations, so that's why I'm saying these things. God is not a human, neither the son of man, that he should feel repentance or consumption for what he has promised. So see, he don't have to even feel repentant of anything. He's done nothing wrong because he's not human. I like the next part of it. He does not change his mind. God's the same from the beginning to now and forever. He stays the same. We read that in Scripture so many times, right? And then I know all of us here, but I don't know about it on the internet. We've all got children and grandchildren. We don't promise them something unless we keep that promise, or we break their trust. So, where do we learn that from? It's inside us, especially for Christians, because God don't speak and then not act. Does He speak and then not do what He says? No, He does what He says. Has He said and shall He not do it? Has He ever spoken and failed to act? I love this because we've heard this scripture so many times. What He says, He will do, and He does. We ought to be able to do that as parents, as friends. There's no, the scripture, no greater friend than as you give up your life for your friend. Mm-hmm. Well, this should be too. We should be able to do what we say we're going to do. It's just like you were talking about car lots a while ago. They promise you something, but when you get in there, they promise you something, but then there's something else to do.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be you buy a car or anything else, the deal was signed with a handshake. Nowadays, a handshake or your word don't mean nothing. You know, it's just, I promise you I'll do this. The promise is no good.
And that actually hurts not only the individual, but everyone that has ever heard about Christianity. We have a little video clip on our website that rotates around, and it's a deal about if I say Jesus or if I say Christian. Well, when you heard it, the people that answered the word about Jesus, they told something good about Jesus. You know, he was either a good man or a good teacher, some people were saying. You know, some said that he was the Son of God, and all these deals. Then they went to the opposite side and said, well, what about Christians? Oh, a big flag goes up, a big red flag, and says, oh, don't even deal with any of those people.
The hypocrites.
The hypocrites, the liars, the deceivers, stay away from them. And we've done that to ourselves because we don't keep our word.
And, the hard truth about that, they're right.
That's true.
And I told you about the boss I had, the supervisor I had. Such a nice guy. The only problem I found with him, he loved his beer. Okay? I mean, from the time that he got to work, he put the beer down, and when he got off of work, he picked the same one up when he got in his car. And he loved his beer. But as far as a man, one of the best men you ever want to be. And when I was driving around with him in the truck out at work, because I was training to be set up supervisor and everything, I asked him, I said, hey, bro, you believe different ways and everything. What stopped you from becoming a Christian? He says, PG, he stopped the truck even. He says, PG, I tell you, he said, there's only been two men in my life that live what they talk. And praise God, I was one of them, you talk about. But there's another man out at the plant. He said, the rest of them, I live a better life than they do, and I don't claim to be a Christian. He said, these guys want me to go to church with them and everything. Here they are cussing out this guy because he didn't do his work. Or this other one's running around on his wife. He says, I don't do those things. And I told him, unfortunately, you're right. And just like you said, the Christians hurt their own themselves.
Well, and the thing we've lost is our integrity. Mm-hmm. That ability to shake hands and say that I will not break that covenant between you and me,
or even look each other in the eye.
Yeah,
you can't. You talk to somebody, you can't look them in the eye with what you're saying, and it's like, okay, what is he really trying to say? When they can't look you in the eye when talking, or that handshake don't mean anything.
And it brings up an example. There's been a lot of people who have to go through bankruptcy and stuff. And a lot of them just want out from the debt and not have to worry about repaying that debt. But there are a few that say, I know I did it. I know I owe it. But I can't make the payments that you're requiring of me. So we've negotiated through a lawyer, whatever the case might be, to waive the past due stuff, you know, the fees and stuff, and we'll accept a lesser amount until it's paid off.
But still paying it.
But
though.
Still paying for it, and yet getting the covering of bankruptcy, but still paying the deal. Do you know how much that really means? When somebody says, you know, I don't want just out from underneath it, I still want to make it right.
Yeah.
With it. And we need to get back to that ability to say, we have integrity, and what I say I will do. And one of the things that's happened over at One Thing Prayer Center is with the interns. And, you know, they say, well, there's people lacking integrity. Maybe they were supposed to be there to run the cafe, and they didn't show up. They didn't call and say, you know, hey, I'm either running late or I can't make it type of deals. Different things like this, or that their responsibility while they were there was to stock the place
and
clean up before their shift ended or do certain tasks, and they're not done. Well, then it turns back around to this integrity thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we as Christian, do we really have integrity that shows the love of Jesus Christ to say, yes, I've committed to this and I'm going to do it? One of the things I've been studying has been on the part in Luke, I think it's 14, when it talks about counting the cost. Well, we've read the scripture before, you know, oh, you need to count the cost before you build the building so that way you don't get laughed at and stuff like that. But I dug a little bit deeper into that, and he used those parables, that one and about the king going to battle and counting the cost of it and deciding this other army is going to overwhelm us. We can't fight against those deals, so I'm going to send an emissary off to them while they're in the far distance to make... say, you know, let's end this war right here without going to battle and stuff. But Christ was talking to the people and he was saying, if you really want to be one of my disciples, you're going to have to give up a lot in your lives, in your families, and not saying that you totally disregard them, but that your commitment to the God, the Father, has to be a deeper commitment than you have even to family and friends.
Mm-hmm. I think that goes back to our study in Colossians 3, where it says, if you're a Christian, act like it.
Act like it.
Act like it, because people today don't have a good example of what a Christian is supposed to be.
They're far and few between.
Mm-hmm. And that falls on us, on our shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And what we shared last night about, we need to go back to our first love. And it starts with us. It starts
That's
with
right.
me. You know, it's got to be an individual thing between you and God and the author of the Word, the Holy Spirit. And we need to get back on a one-to-one and know that author. Sometimes we get away to where I think sometimes we don't even know who God is anymore.
Well, we're doing Christian work, but we forgot about the relationship part of that.
Yeah, well, we forget who God is, and he don't need our work.
Yeah.
That's right.
He needs us. He wants us. All he wants us to do, like Pastor Greg says from Crossing, he says, all he wants you to do, open your arms wide like you want to hug him, and just receive him. Receive his salvation. Receive his love. And then just give that away. Somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everything you receive is to be given away. And then come back to him. He'll give you more. So too many times we say, God, I love you. But then we close our arms tight. Well, I don't want that because that's responsibility. This responsibility goes along with that. And we can't be there. We've got to be one-on-one with God. And with that comes so much. Like you were talking about.
And just like the scriptures we're talking about here. He is who he is. He's not a liar. He's not man. He isn't born of man.
He doesn't have to repent for nothing.
Right. And what he says, he will do.
Yeah.
And he's always done that throughout the ages, has always been the person that says, if I say this, it will come to pass.
Don't you think that one thing that he would like to take back was when he said, I have to put my son on the cross? Don't you think he would like to take that promise back?
I don't think so.
But I mean, if there's anything he could have taken back or would have taken back, that would have been the one thing he wouldn't want to kill his son. But he loved us so much that he did it. I'm just saying that he never would take his word back. But we look at it in a human form. If it was your own son, that'd be kind of hard to do. And I'm sure it was, but he did it because he loved us so much.
And we would, you know, we would do the same thing for our own children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, if they're in a spot, you know, I would rather take a bullet and save my children
than
for them to go through that. And, you know, the hardest thing is when you lose one of your kids, you know, that they go on before you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, you know, it makes it so much easier.
Yeah, it's still not easy to lose them.
Right. And in turn, you know, we want that same thing. We want to be, you know, that parent to our kids that they know that what we tell them is truth and is life.
And that we'll be there for them when we say we will. Which goes back to the rest of this, where it says, in talking about God, does he promise and not fulfill?
Mm-hmm.
Does he promise and not come through? Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? Has he ever promised and not carry it through? What he promises, he makes come true. So God does everything he says he'll do. Let's go to the next part, next scripture on this results of the infallible, it's the infallible word. And it's Isaiah 55:11.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, let me find it here. New King James is yours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it.
Okay, something I want to say right off the top of this. There's a lot of preachers out there that we don't think should be in the pulpit, maybe. We may not agree with their lifestyle. We may not agree with anything they're doing. Like, what in the world is he doing up in that pulpit? But if God's word is going out, forget that preacher. Because it says here, my word that goes from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. His word is not going to come back void if his word's going out. Now, what that pastor does, whether it's right or wrong, God will deal with that.
And he has to answer for that.
Absolutely.
Himself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just like the deal. If nobody would speak on my behalf, I'll make the rocks cry out.
Absolutely.
And stuff, so that my word would go forth.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. And we need to stop judging so many times.
Absolutely.
And maybe the person's not where they should be, but the word of the living God, just like it says, and I forget where the scripture is, it says, but Lord, haven't we done this in your name? And haven't we done that in your name? Haven't we healed the sick? Haven't we raised the dead?
Depart from me, I never knew you.
Right, because not because of what they do, but because of the relationship with the Father, he doesn't know who they are.
Absolutely.
Because there was no relationship there.
They worked and worked and worked, thought they'd worked their way into heaven.
Right.
They did not know Jesus. And that's what people get church busy, and they don't know God, don't know Christ. Well, in the message it says, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed or void. They do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. Not anything to do with us at all. It's all about him. He said, they'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. All right. His word goes from where? Both those scriptures we said goes out from where? His mouth.
His mouth.
Not from my mouth, not from Donna's mouth, not from our mouth. It goes out from his mouth. So no matter who's preaching or teaching, the word goes out from his mouth. The scripture is his word, right? All right. It will not return to God empty. It will not come back empty-handed. It won't return to him void, which means without producing some kind of effect. It always produces trust. We all agree with that by showing that it won't return empty. And I love the message because it says empty-handed. But also like word void, because when I found out what the word void really meant, without producing any type of effect.
Yeah, the NIV says it returns to me empty.
Yeah. All right. And this is what his word will do. It will accomplish what God desires. Not what we desire or anything, but what God desires. It'll do the work he sent it to do. Sometimes when I've done this, I've taught a certain lesson, I thought it would accomplish this, but God had something else for it to accomplish. Have you taught something like that?
Yeah.
Certain studies, oh, this is so good, I'm going to teach this, and these people are going to get such a blessing for this way. God meant a whole total different way that affected the people a different way, and then in turn, affected me a different way. Because his word is going to accomplish what he sent it to do. And this is my next point, too. It accomplishes what God pleases and purposed. It'll do what he wants it to do. It'll make things happen the way he wants it to happen. And it'll accomplish whatever he pleases. His word will achieve the purpose for which he sent it to achieve. It'll complete the assignment he gave him. See, we don't think of his word as doing anything, as being alive. We think of it as being in a book, a Bible. We don't think of his word as being capable of doing anything. But then think about it. His word put creation into existence. He spoke and there was day. He spoke, there was animals. His word did a lot just by speaking the word.
Well, and here they had a note about this. It says, during Isaiah's lifetime, God's people primarily heard the word of God through his prophets, an oral word. Through the prophets at that time. That's how they heard what God was saying. Mm-hmm. And then it says, after the exile, they came to think more and more of the written word of the Lord, the scriptures. Thus they became known as the people of the book.
Mm-hmm. His word will also complete assignments he gave them to do. They'll prosper in the things for which he sent them. And everywhere he sends his voice, his word, and his word will succeed in doing whatever he sent them to do.
I think a lot of times, you know, people say, I've spoken to this person about God, and I've showed them scriptures and stuff like that, and, you know, maybe at that time they don't accept.
Yeah.
But again, we have to realize the word is the word. It's life. And that life is speaking into that dead soul.
Yeah.
And at some point, it's going to breathe life through that person's dead soul's nostrils and bring forth life in that person.
Yeah.
But it's not always immediately. It's just like when you grow a plant. If you want tomatoes, you can't put a seed in the ground and then tomorrow expect to be plucking tomatoes off the vine.
That's something, too, that we get impatient. And when things don't happen in the time we want it, we try to take it in our time.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is done in God's timing. And in that waiting period, we're supposed to grow. Just
That's
like
right.
That seed you put in the ground. When you put a seed in the ground, it actually rots. And in that rotting of the seed, it opens and a plant comes out of it. We have to rot and get rid of the outside shell before a new sprout can come out in Christ. And through that, the soil and the nutrients of the ground, it grows. And the nutrients and everything we get from the Word, we grow in Christ. And as we come out, we have to take from everything God has. And we can grow. But we can't do it if we just sit there. Wait on God.
So many people, especially young people, and I was one of them, that you know, God told me something when I was real young, and I always wondered, well, why did it never happen? You know, I'm trying my best to get where God wants me to be, but it doesn't seem to be working.
Why don't it happen now?
Yeah, it's always a now thing. You know, if God doesn't do it in the next 2 days, it must not have been from God.
Well, why is Wayne getting it? It wasn't happening to Wayne, but it's not happening to me.
Yeah.
Or vice versa, you know. And then when you say, well, the heck with it, I'm not going to worry about it no more. Oh, what? What happened? It happened to you.
Then it changes and stuff changes because you then release it for God to actually do a work inside of you.
Tell God you ain't going to do something.
Yeah, really. So, you know, it's interesting at the point that all these things have to happen before a person gets to that point. You know, I tell people, you know, share the gospel and stuff. If they don't accept it, don't worry about it. This is God's word. That word brings life.
It will not come back empty-handed.
And it won't come back empty-handed. So everything you've told them has just been in that process of letting that seed die in the ground so that it can spring forth out of the ground and bring life and stuff. And I think about it, you know, what an ignorant people we are.
Yep.
You know, we think that God's always going to do everything right then and there to my timing.
The way we want it to.
The way we want it to. And God says, you know, it's not right yet. It hasn't germinated in the ground yet.
Right.
And stuff. It hasn't got into the very heart of that person. But the one thing that would be happen is I can guarantee you later that person's going to remember those words.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to remember where they heard them from.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Amplified Bible says this way. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect or useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. It's all Him. And it is all about Him. He can say it's all about me. We can't.
Yep. You know,
and
we try.
We try, and it don't work.
It's just like, you know, I'm going to start a church. I am this. I'm that.
And you're going to fall flat on your face.
And that's what happens, is we fall flat on our face, and then we blame God and say, well, I was trying to be a good servant.
I was doing it for you, God. Why happened?
But the problem is he left God and started doing this still instead of saying, God, where are you?
Yeah.
You know, I want to follow with you, and God will get you to that point. It says it's going to accomplish the purpose that I sent it for.
Mm-hmm.
But we forget about that God has a plan. It's just not always our plan.
Right.
In our time that God has these things worked out. But God is actually, if you really follow Him, He will get you to that point that He's already told you about.
Yeah. Well, that's the end of the inspired Word of God, and I hope through these three points of the Holy Spirit's the author, man is the instrument used, and that the result is it's the infallible Word of God, that it's proved that this is the inspired Word. Partially. We still got a lot more sections to go yet. So next time we'll be starting The Bible Cannot Be Understood by the Natural Mind, which we talked about a little bit. But now we'll have scriptures. And I want to state again that all of this is not just what I'm saying. It's not my ideas. It's not just my point of view. Every bit of this is scripture. It's just I'm taking from several different translations, but it's just pure scriptures that we're stating. And that is it's to show that all these points comes from the Word of God. And at these points, anytime you want to look them up, send us an email or go on the website, and we will give you the scripture and what version it's out of to show you where our points are coming from. And this whole course that we're going through, the inspired Word of God, is just nothing but scriptures.
And that it's actually online.
Online, yes.
It's free. You don't have to pay anything for it. You can download it and print it out yourself. And so you can either follow along or you can do a more extensive study on your own as you read these scriptures.
Yep.
And stuff. We're going to try to expound little by little as we go through these things. But again, you know, you need to take the word and you need to look at it. Yep. And you need to let the Holy Spirit speak to you.
Absolutely.
So it's not just us you need to listen to. It's the Holy Spirit that you ultimately need to listen to when you read these scriptures.
Because he's the author.
Right.
He's the author. Okay. Honey, would you like to close the prayer? Okay, no. Father, we just thank you for this word tonight, Lord, or today. And we just ask that you just take it, bless those who've heard it. And God, just help us understand more and more. And thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Teach us. Jesus told us that when he left, that he would send us a teacher. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And we just thank you for that, that we can just understand the scriptures more through your precious Holy Spirit. And we just thank you, God, and just ask you to be with us till next time. In Jesus' name, amen.